Good evening, hello world. Today we will be discussing about tinnitus, and thank you very much for joining this live session. As every Wednesday and Saturday at 7 p.m. we do live session based on patient polls. We collect data from our patients, and whatever they tell us they want to know about, we want to present you with the latest evidence-based information so that you could understand that disease process better than what we started with this journey, and also you are able to make better decisions. Goal of Conless MD channel is to simplify healthcare information so that you could understand it better and you are able to take care of the things in a much better way, which normal day-to-day office visit allow. These are detailed sessions where we could pretty much and will go through whole detail, and also in the end we have collected the questions which we will go over. So the first thing which we want to discuss in this session is why we are talking about tinnitus. Is a sound, is, and people describe this sound in very differently. Some people say it's a ringing, some people say it's hissing, some people say it's blowing, and there are multiple other ways people have described this sensation, and people continues to have this sound without any stimulus. The point that it drives people crazy. It affects about 10 to 15% of US population, and those statistics hold good worldwide, meaning that at a given point 15% of us are having either chronic dizziness or they have episodic dizziness, and out of that but 2 million Americans are affected to this extent their life is disabled by this disease. Why this disease provokes so much of emotional reaction, which will go over the neuroanatomy of sound when we discuss how our brain understands and interprets sounds. It is directly or near anatomically, it is located in the brain near to our limbic system, which is our primitive emotional symptom of center. So what it does is this sound not only is bothering to us, it provokes such a severe emotional reaction. So when you have some sensation without stimulus, plus you have a high emotional quotient, then you have a recipe for pain and suffering. And that is what it makes it different. Now the question could be asked, why this thing happens? I think to understand why tinnitus happen, I think we need to understand the whole anatomy and physiology of our sound system or sound apparatus, which involves external ear, middle ear, inner ear. From there, the nerves arising, going to the brain and auditory cortex and the surrounding area in the brain, which lead to this whole cascade. Normally, let's understand how our body understands sound system. Whenever there is a sound wave which is created, the shape of our pinna is such, it collects the vibration, and through external artery canal, they are transmitted or they strike our tympanic membrane. On the other side of the tympanic membrane, in the middle ear, we have three bones, and the way these bones are placed, their job is to amplify the vibration sound coming. So sound wave gets converted into mechanical waves by these bones. These bones transmit these vibration to the internal ear. They are connected to a special apparatus which you call cochlea. And this cochlea is like a snail-like thing structure, which is filled with fluid. And it has, in the fluid, it has multiple cells which are projecting hair into this fluid. And the function is when Sound wave strike tympanic member gets amplified in the middle ear and then transmitted to internal ear. This vibration sets the fluid into motion. When the fluid is moving, those hairs, like particle hair cells, they get stimulated. On the other end, they have nerve fibers. So here, the mechanical vibrations gets converted into electrical current in those cochlear portion of the vestibulocochlear nerve, and they are transmitted through the brainstem to the auditory cortex. And the auditory cortex is the area where different vibration and the sounds are interpreted. So in the next ear, we have muscles. We have one main artery, which is carotid. Underneath is the temporomandibular joint. Now, with this background, let's understand tinnitus. In tinnitus, one thing happens is we have to look tinnitus through the angle of that sudden onset of acute tinnitus or chronic tinnitus, meaning lasting more than 6 months of tinnitus. Whenever it's acute tinnitus, there got to be some reason which leads to this production of the sound without stimulus. And that is the same pathology which happens in chronic tinnitus. But in acute, we could connect some cause and effect. In chronic, we cannot find any etiology. So the reason still unknown to us that in chronic tinnitus, this ringing, buzzing, hissing sound, the fluid hair cells are producing action potential or the electrical current when there is no fluid movement. There is no sound coming from outside. And there are multiple theories. None of them so far has been confirmed. Only thing we know is that these hair cells are screwed up. They are sending impulses to the brain, to the auditory cortex, where the sound is ultimately interpreted without knowing that there is a problem. The main problem is the hair cell. That's the one side. Then the sound, why there are a lot of things if you keep on doing over and over. Our brain is a very lazy machine. Brain has a process. Anything you do repeatedly, whether it's a good habit, bad habit, any activity, it automates, habituates, and then it just spits it out and forgets. But in this case, there is some changes we are beginning to understand happen in the auditory cortex, which keep on interpreting this stimulus over and it does not habituate. So there are two places we know so far in tinnitus that the hair cells are creating these impulses, which we call electrical potential, and they're sending to the brain. And then the second part is why brain doesn't habituate and keep on interpreting the stimulus. So those are the two sides through which we have to look through the chronic tinnitus. Now, what could be the reasons? It's not the reason, but the common correlation this thing exists is people who are involved in high sound, the activities which involve significant amount of exposure to sound, like people, construction workers who are working with the jackhammer or some other industry which are high with sound pollution. Individuals who are in the music industry and concerts, they are highly susceptible to barotrauma or the sound trauma over and over happening. These are the people we know get more tinnitus. So there is a theory that there is a damage to these hair cells from the sound. And we all are exposed to a lot of sounds from different sources, our TVs, our phones, our gaming computers, our cell phones. We have continuous exposure to a lot of sound, which was not the routine evolutionary. In the evolution, we didn't have any of these things. So we believe, or the science believes, that these hair cells get injured, destroyed, or malfunctioning through sound or exposure to high sound. Then Over the period of time, we have also found people who have recurrent infections, they are also at high risk for developing tinnitus. Aging is magical. As we age, the incidence and prevalence of tinnitus increases. Further, a lot of medications, especially the medications which we need to do is the over-the-counter pain medications, like we bulk them into a category we call non-steroidal. The common medications are ibuprofen, Aleve, naproxen, Ketolac, and multiple other pain medications are non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications. They can lead to hair cell dysfunction. Next class of medication is diuretics. We use it a lot for different reasons. You have a leg swelling, congestive heart failure, cirrhosis, renal failure. These medications are used a lot and they are directly ototoxic and lead to tinnitus. Further, a lot of antibiotics, especially when you have a chronic infections, and we use which is called aminoglycoside. They are very ototoxic. Tetracyclines, there's another kind of antibiotic can do that. A lot of chemotherapeutic agents can give you tinnitus. Next comes in is there is element of genetic predisposition. Certain families have a higher sensitivity to sound and they are more prone to develop. There are multiple etiologies and multiple ways you look at it. But if the other main fundamental thing which we found in all patients is hearing loss. If you have ringing in the ear, you must get your hearing tested. I think out of all these studies, tests which we will mention soon, if one test makes perfect sense, is getting your hearing tested. The theory behind is that if you are lose your hearing, then your brain's auditory cortex, or the brain where the sound is interpreted, that fills in the gaps for the hearing loss. And that presents as hissing or burr or whistling, ringing sound. So that is the theory in chronic tinnitus lasting more than 6 months, is that it could be the reason that our auditory cortex is compensating for the hearing loss. Now let's put this thing together. So if there is a problem in the external ear, there is a problem with the pinna, or the external artery canal is blocked up with the cerum nex or the wax, or there is an inflammation and infection, there will be that can lead to problem, and could be one place where you could have issue and lead to tinnitus. Second, children and adults who get recurrent middle ear infection, they are at increased risk of developing issues or developing tinnitus. Inner ear problems, so far we have been discussing age, hearing loss, medications, genetics, and then high sound exposure. They all can lead to this part. Next, we have a temporomandibular joint. Anything wrong with the temporomandibular joint can also sometime contribute to the tinnitus. Then there are muscles here. If there is any musculoskeletal problem in the neck, sometime it can present as tinnitus. Further, also the vascular structure. If there is a blockage to the artery, the main artery, the carotid artery, and you hear external sound, those could be transmitted sounds we call pulsatile tinnitus. You could hear that there is a synchronization between the pulse and you hear a sound in your ear. So these are the common reasons or common places: your external ear problem, your middle ear problem, and then middle ear is connected to your throat. To be as eustachian tube, some chronic sore throats can lead to that. Then inner ear problem, your hair cell problem, then let's go to the brain. If you have certain diseases like multiple sclerosis, where we lose the sheathing around the nerves, that can lead to abnormal auditory cortex behavior if it is involved, and can lead to tinnitus and ringing. Further, there's one of the condition which we call Meniere's disease. In this disease, the problem is in the fluid pressure in the cochlea, and that can sometimes lead to dizziness and vertigo. That's the vertigo that can also contribute to your ringing. Now, come the question is, what can we do about it? If you look at it, so far what we have established is the problem could be right from external ear, middle ear, so your throat, inner ear, and then also it could be a problem in your cochlear nerve, could be in the auditory cortex. So the whole pathway could be involved in this part of it. But what we know so far is there is no one specific etiology. These are coincidences which I have described, and some people get some benefit from treating these conditions. But what we know is there is a faulty hair cell stimulation, and then there is not habituation in the brain cortex. Those are the two main hypotheses with this thing. But if you have ringing in the ear, we must take care of these things. We must avoid those medications. Aging is a privilege, but we must avoid the sound, hazard to the sound. One of the ominous kind of tinnitus is, then the question is, what so far we talked about is, there is a ringing, it definitely is a pain, but are the characteristics of this ringing which makes it or should prompt you to act quickly and act now? Number one, if this you have, whenever anybody has a tinnitus, they have a pattern. If your pattern of tinnitus changes suddenly, there could be brain issue. So you must inform your physician. Second, if it's only one ear, it's not happening in both ears, this means there is a localized pathology which we went over, and it could be anywhere, you must pay attention to it. Then the pulsatile tinnitus. Pulsatile tinnitus is that there is some blockages in the arteries which is conducting these sounds, which is we call the process hardening up of arteries, atherosclerosis. And if you look at it, it's the same process. If this happens in the arteries, we could have a carotid artery stenosis and stroke. If it happened in heart, you have a heart attack. If you have the same process happening in the leg arteries, we call it PAD. So it is a very involved extensive process. So if you are having a pulsator, you're hearing pulse and you're ringing, that is a bad sign. You should get to see the immediately to the doctor. How do we diagnose it? If you go to a physician, what do you expect? Because that was the one of the questions one of my patients had, is that she had tinnitus, which was very disabling. I think she was one of the 2 million Americans whose life has been kindly shattered with this tinnitus. So she had a question, what should expect? Because she had seen 3 ENT specialists in the past. She has seen multiple audiologists, and she was not satisfied. She could not comprehend or could accept that this is a condition where this might not be any cure, and all the ancillary treatment therapies and all those things is what it will be, they may not be effective. So every diagnosis starts with the complete history and physical. Like when you go and come to our offices, we start with your problem, then we elaborate on it, we ask some lot of direct leading questions. That's the history part. After we are done with knowing about the complete history, and the history questions will be directed mostly towards any external ear problem, middle ear problem, inner ear problem with the nerve, brain, then any others, we will assess your past medical history, your current medication, your surgeries, and also we will interpret this information in relation to your overall health, and then we will examine you. most of the time the examination is focused on the ear, nose, throat part of it. We'll check your throat, we'll check your TMA joint, we will hear to your carotid arteries, we will check your external ear. When we're doing the otoscopic examination, our limitation is ends at the tympanic membrane. We cannot look at in the middle ear or the inner ear. And if there is a something needs to be done, then it will be some kind of a radiological study, CAT scan or MRI could be ordered based on what your physician is thinking. As we have established so far, most of the time, we do not have a reason. We do not find any reason. We only know we have some coincidences that is more common as we age, if there is exposure to sound, some genetic, some medication. But you rule this out, and there is, I went over the red flag signs, that is there is no change in your tinnitus pattern, you're not losing weight, there is no other cardiovascular problems, there is no, it's not unilateral, there is no symptom suggestive of any brain problem. So when you rule those out, most of the time it's reassuring, and then explaining you in detail. And that video is dedicated to you, ma'am, because I wanted to ensure that I go over this whole journey with you so that you understand your disease process. And then based on that, once you will have more questions, I'll be more than happy to answer. Her question was repeatedly was, what kind of tests? She already had these tests. She had audiology test that she didn't have hearing loss. Then was that she has done multiple time ENT examination, multiple MRI, because she was totally disabled with this part of it. Is she to the point that she was extremely anxious, extremely depressed, and to the point that it was affecting her relationship. And even though she has very supportive family, it was a major issue for her. Beyond that, we don't have. There are some stimulatory tests which they could do regarding the inner ear, which can be done in specialized center. There are not too many things which we could offer you which can help you with that part. Now, one message which I have is that if you ever have tinnitus, you make sure that you decrease sound trauma, cut down your exposure to sound. That's one. And second is you must ensure that you don't have a hearing loss. Now, let's go over the treatment. After even establishing that there is no good treatment, we have certain things which we could do. We are not totally helpless, and we are not at the mercy of this disease. We must do something about that. And there are a lot of things which we can do. One of the most common things which is helpful is, let's start the treatment in a systematic way, the way we have developed the theme so far. Ensure that you don't have a hearing loss. Number two, ensure that your external ear, your TMJ joint, your carotid artery, your muscle, and there is no wax. If you have any of these things, you take care of that. Then, if you have a chronic sore throat, make sure your eustachian tube is open, and that will help you with that part. When it comes to medications, there is no medication which can directly help you, but indirectly, there are medications we call anticholinergics. They decrease activity in these hair cells, and they can help you, give you some temporary relief. But it's not direct medication to help you with that part. Then we end up using many time anti-anxiety medication to control your symptoms, because there are two things happening. One is the ringing, and second is the emotional component around that part. So many times we end up using antidepressants. If it's difficult for you to sleep, as the sound in relation to background at night becomes louder, we end up using sleeping medications. Then we use a lot of therapies to make you aware or habituate your brain. Those include cognitive behavior therapy, mindfulness therapy. What that means is we are training your brain to pay less attention to these sounds. This either through cognitive behavior therapy, meditation, mindfulness, or sometimes what we do is we create alternative stimulus. Before I go in, say for example, you might have seen that you have a pain in one part of the body, but if there is some injury on the other part of the body, you forget about the first pain. This is the same principle which we use in case of tinnitus. We call it sound therapy. There are multiple ways we deliver sound to your brain, whether through the app or through some, there are some devices which we put it in and we create external. What we are doing is we are creating a counter stimulation to dampen your tinnitus. So you're paying more attention to this stimulus and paying less attention to your chronic stimulus. And usually it is a lot more tolerated. So a lot of therapies which have been tried, the music therapy, this one is, then apps. Then there are some now specialist hearing aids which can send alternative stimulus like the sound therapies to your brain. So the sound therapy or the counter stimulation has a lot of role. A lot of people find music, they continuously play the music, the same principle. What they're doing is they're trying to dampen their original stimulus and they are adding the stimulus on this part of it. Then this question comes in, what are the other things which I could do? Healthy lifestyle is shown to help significantly building coping mechanism to help you to tolerate tinnitus, and also it helps to prevent. The best thing which we could do for tinnitus is prevent. And the prevention, only thing which we know for so far is the two things. Number one, avoiding sound exposure, a high pitch sounds. Second is if you have a hearing loss, replace it with hearing aids so that your brain doesn't fill in the gaps or the neuroplasty doesn't take over to continue to have a persistent symptoms. What are the lifestyle changing? Each human being has five domains. All of us have a body which needs proper nutrition, exercise, rest, and entertainment. So make sure your diet is balanced. Balanced diet is high in plant-based. Bulk of your food is plants, legumes, whole grains, meat to the taste, and it should be lean and quality fats and nuts. If you have this one diet, it will provide your brain proper nutrients, your neurotransmitters, your hormone levels will be, all will come back to normal and it will help you to dampen tinnitus. Second, exercise. Both strength training and cardiovascular exercises are helped to prevent. Message is 30 minutes, 5 times a week, preferably 7 days a week. Sleep 7 to 9 hours. That's the most controversial. People don't pay attention. Sleep is very important. Then social stimulation or entertainment also is shown to significantly decrease your tinnitus. That is on your physical domain. Second domain is our emotional. If you are irritated, depressed, you are increasing, you'll be more apt or you're more sensitive to developing symptoms or sensitivity to the sound stimuli. So make sure you're properly treated for anxiety, depression, and other any psychiatric disorder you have. Third main of life is your intellectual or cognitive. Make sure you keep yourself brain occupied. Read books, do what else, so that your brain real estate is involved in doing other intellectual work and paying less attention to chatter. Spiritual domain is the fourth one. I'm not sure how I could put it together in the treatment plan, That's up to you, what up it is. Then our social environment, make sure it's quiet. We avoid sound. We avoid MIB trauma, sound trauma. Now let's take the most common questions. This question came in over and over today and yesterday during our office hours. Does having earbuds all the time and then gaming computers and the headsets, do they lead to tinnitus in future? See, this is a very, you need to understand this one clearly for what it is. It has been studied and they could not conclusively say yes or no. But let's put this thing intuitively. In the whole talk, we have been discussing exposure to high frequency sounds is one of the biggest reasons to develop tinnitus. So we want to make sure that we do not expose yourself. I have a working theory on this one, and I truly believe it will lead to tinnitus and the individuals who are exposed to this kind of sound trauma will have a higher incidence of leading to tinnitus. Next question was, every heartbeat I have and I feel, hear it, I think you must be checked. This question is very much is that you must check that so that you are not left with any kind of a problem. Medications are not very effective. Adjunctive therapies, which I mentioned, behavioral therapies like cognitive behavioral therapy, meditation, mindfulness, alternative sound therapies, they all are helpful. There is a lot of information on the internet and YouTube videos which are promising you how you could treat your tinnitus with this diet, this exercise. I think those are gimmicks and have never been established. Proper nutrition, proper sleep, exercise, ensuring you don't have red flag signs, ensuring your sound treatment, you don't expose yourself to high frequency sounds, is the only alternative we all have. I hope this session was helpful and we have covered a lot. If there is any more questions which I have not covered and you want to know, I'll be more than happy to answer it personally. We have a YouTube channel, Kundas MD, and other social medias. Please subscribe to our channel and also share our content with others. We are doing this thing for the love of our work and love for our patients, and we want to ensure that you are updated properly. We will continue to produce this kind of content in future. We do YouTube Live and other social media live sessions every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday 7 p.m. and we post other regular content regularly. Thank you very much for giving us attention, and I'll see you in next session. Thank you very much.